A real unusual phenomenon happened this week. It gets colder in Minnesota every fall. surprise, surprise. Huh? So at any rate, just for a couple of announcements before we have our scripture reading and prayer and continue with our service. Tuesday is the women's Bible study at 9:30, and Wednesday we have our Bible study at 7 p.m., except for this Wednesday. We're still going to meet at 7 p.m., but if you'll notice on the left lower corner in big letters, a country gospel singer is traveling through. He's from Canada, and he is traveling from New York to Saskatchewan, and he's driving up I-94, and it's going to be on Wednesday. And so he is going to sing for us at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And so you're welcome to come and hear that. All right. Committees, jobs. Amy, you're on the docket, and so is Cindy Roberg. Hi, all right, and there's a little note to that in your bulletin there. We also have some prayer requests, and I would, Leroy, how's your brother doing?
He's doing pretty good. He's been rehabbed.
Yeah, okay, well that's good. So if you remember Oliver, or is that his name?
No. Orville.
Orville, that's right. Okay, I was Oliver. All right. Orville Engel. Okay. And Norma, Selinge's mother. And I'd also take the liberty to add Al Gregerson. He's not very comfortable, is he? Okay. Pray for Al. He has contracted shingles, and it's kind of painful for him right now. So he's not here this morning, and that's why. Also, Bob's sister, terminally ill, right, Bob? Okay, so we'll just pray for that that family, and also
my brother's wife.
Okay, and so we'll continue to pray for them. Also, as we think of us as a group of believers, we should pray for each other. We all need prayer. Our children, but in particular, we should pray for our president, our country, and as we just think of all of the nonsense that goes on, even right down to how to count a vote, our country needs prayer. And we just pray that the right people in your grace would get into office. And if not, if the wrong people get into office, and I won't name names, but it's just my opinion that there are some wrong people in office right now, and there are some wrong people that want to get in office. And if they do, it's so important for us as citizens of heaven to represent Jesus Christ, because in the end, it is the truth, it's the Son that will set people free. And if we cut the Bible out, if we cut Jesus Christ out of our culture, then the only alternative is slavery. And so it's important that Christians don't lose sight of that. Our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is not in any economic dogma or philosophy. Our hope is in the Lord, and that is exactly what the Bible teaches. And so as people line up with what the Scripture has to say and put their priorities straight, then they are the ones who should earn our votes. All right, and so with that, let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 23, a familiar passage. And while you're thinking of that, or opening up to Psalm chapter 23, I will remind you of the flyer. Now, this is 1 week left. This is next Sunday, right? And so you'll notice there's some samples. Well, they're actually not samples. They're the real thing. But you can use them as examples of shoeboxes of gifts that will be given to Samaritan's Purse, and they'll be sent around the world to help underprivileged children. And with that, the hope is that the gospel can make inroads, and that people who normally wouldn't hear about Jesus Christ or even his name could be introduced to our Savior. And so there's 1 week left, and there's some hints and some ideas if you want to help a little boy, a little girl. And I might just say that, hey, come on, you guys, help the boys, all right? We live in a culture. Here, I'm going to get political right now. We live in a culture where women and girls are given all the attention, and our little boys are being cut out. And they're being cut out in our public schools. They're being cut out, and we need men to lead, and we need to raise our little boys to be men. And so I know in our little packages, oh, we're going to help the little girls. We're going to help the little girls. And so we just had girls. What is this? And I'm not being sexist or anything like that, but the pendulum has swung to a point where little boys are really being marginalized in our culture. College, more women are going to college. More women are graduating from college. Where are our men? And we should, I think, just keep that in mind. Well, Psalm chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that in it we can read and learn of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to pay the penalty for our sin. We thank you that we can sit here today knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that you want to give to us a home in heaven, a home in your presence that will last forever. We thank you for this. We want to just thank you for the fact that we can come together and pray. And we want to just pray for each other. We think of those who physically are suffering. We commit each one to you. And we just pray that for whatever the reason is, that you could grow in the minds of each person. And as we've learned on Wednesday night, that everything that happens to us is for a reason. We may not know or understand, but we just pray that through it all, we could learn to trust in your wisdom and what in your plan for people's lives. And so we also want to pray for our country this morning. We think of President Trump, and we just pray that you could not only use this man, but that he would have the courage to move the country in the right direction. And we think of those who are newly elected. We just pray that they too could just think and remember that they're there to serve and not just to be served. And so we just pray that that whole mindset could just be flipped around in Washington. We also just want to commit our service to you this morning. And as we think of today being Veterans Day, we thank you for those who have been willing to serve this country and in many cases pay the ultimate price in paying or in serving. And so we just pray that on this Veterans Day today that we could be thankful for those who have been willing to serve. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In fact, at this time, I would just like, if you've been a veteran, could you just stand, and then we'll join you for the greeting in a minute, but if you would stand first, anyone who's served in our military, look around, folks. There aren't that many, okay, that are here today, but thank you. Let's give a round of applause. And note these people and give them a thanks sometime this morning. With that, let's stand and join them, and we'll greet one another for just one moment. I don't know about you guys, but I always get a little bit choked up when we sing this song. And I couldn't help but think that as we think of those veterans who are willing to serve, and I had to ask myself this question, do we always get as choked up when we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to die, and through his death, we can have forgiveness of sins? It's interesting, last month, we had the Lord's table, and last week, we looked at some of the things that a new believer in Jesus Christ needs to learn and learn first. And as we think of where do you start, if you had just accepted Christ an hour ago, where should you start and what do you do? And we had noted that while Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for sin, there is one thing that I didn't mention that I'm going to add to the list, and that is this: to remember the price that was paid. God wants us to remember that he sacrificed so that we could be free. He sacrificed so that we could be forgiven. He sacrificed so that we could be welcomed in heaven. And it's important for us to recognize that the only qualification or the qualification for getting into heaven is a qualification that we don't have by nature. And what God did is he took our sin and paid the penalty for that sin on the cross. But what that does is that frees up God to give to us his righteousness. And when we receive his righteousness, it happens when we are born again. It's part of the new birth that we are made righteous in Christ. And we're put on a road that leads to heaven. And our citizenship is forever changed. And we represent a new homeland. And as we stop and we think of our association and our citizenship and where we belong here on this earth, there is a place to be thankful, to be proud of your flag. There's a place for that. But as a child of God, we need to remember that we have dual citizenship. And we are citizens of heaven, and that citizenship will last forever and ever and ever. Now, I know that some of you might be thinking that in some cases in this country, citizenship lasts long after death, especially on voting day. If you're into a little comedy on voting day, his name just slips my mind, and that's probably that's probably good. Who's the guy? Ray Stevens? Is that the guy, the comedy singer? Yeah, he sang a song. He wrote a song. My grandpa voted Democrat, and his grandpa was a lifelong Republican. But after he died, he was voting from his casket in the cemetery, and at any rate, he was just kind of making fun of our voting system. So that's on YouTube. You can look that up. My grandfather voted Democrat, and you'll get the tune. So you can do that for your devotions on the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November. All right, so there you go. But as we stop and we think of our citizenship in heaven, it lasts forever, and it transcends all other citizenships on this earth. And that is something that we can be thankful for, that we can stand up for. And God's children need to stand up. They need to remember. And as we stop and we think, and I've got myself right here, do I look saintly this morning? I put on a tie. And at my wife's insistence, my belt must match my shoes. My son told her that's how you men dress, that what color shoes should you wear and what color belt should you wear. Your shoes and belt should always match. Did you know that? Did anybody else know that? Hey, does anybody care? Okay, I don't. But anyway, that's it. But listen, if your belt and your shoes match this morning, that does not make you a saint. That does not set you apart. What sets you apart is being in Christ. And how does a person get into Christ? How does all that Christ has for us become ours? How is it that we can become a member of this family? This is often referred to as positional truth, our standing, but it's family membership. And how is it that we become a family? And as we just kind of look at that picture, we need to recognize the fact that we're human beings. And the whole human race started with Adam. And when Adam fell, Romans chapter 5 tells us that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And it was through this first Adam that sin entered into the world. And as we stop and we think of this old saying, good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, a lot of people think just like that. But I want to just remind you that we are all sinners. Some of you are a little better at hiding that fact than others of you. Others of you, your garbage cans have dents in them. The lid doesn't really seal too well, so a little stench leaks out. And it's pretty apparent that you have a lot of garbage in your garbage can. We can smell it. But some of you have a very nice garbage can that the lid fits on very tightly. And guess what? It isn't quite as smelly to the rest of the world because your garbage can works so well. But I want you to know that what's in the garbage can is what God sees. And what He sees is stench. And you're not hiding a thing from Him. And as I've mentioned before, you all look like fine Christians to me. Here you are in church this morning. Does it get any better than that? God must be pleased. And it's important for us to recognize that no matter where you take your garbage can, even to church, it does not make you a saint. We need to recognize that all that stench needs to be paid for. And I cannot pay for that on my own. God sent His Son to pay a price that I could never pay, and only He could pay. And Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, paid the penalty for my sin. I've got here an R, an M, and an I. And for those of you who forgot what that means, the R stands for religious people, the M stands for moral people, and the I stands for immoral people. And it's taken out of Romans 1, 2, and 3. And Paul concludes in Romans 3 that all have sinned. And by the way, I deliberately put the religious person furthest from the cross. Now, all people need the cross equally. And it doesn't matter this morning if you're religious, moral, or immoral, you need the cross. But it's oftentimes that the what we would call a down and outer, a person who's really messed up in life, oftentimes they see their need before the religious person sees their need. This was true in Jesus' day when He told the Pharisees, the harlots will get into heaven before you self-righteous Pharisees. Now, why did He say that? I'm here to tell you that I don't care what your profession is, you get to heaven the same way as anyone else gets to heaven. Why did He say they would go first? And it's because oftentimes they see their need of a Savior. They recognize, you know what? I'm a sinner who cannot save myself. And Jesus Christ came and paid the penalty for sin. Last week, we said some basic concepts that a new Christian needs to learn. And one of them is knowing the source, knowing where the manual is. And I mentioned it's so common to have what? To have people say, oh, now that you're a new Christian, order my book. And you need to read this book. And there's some very good books out there. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. The book that we need to get oriented to is the Word of God, the Bible. That is our source. And that's the number one. All this other stuff that we can read can be very good supplemental material. But it never, ever should replace the Word of God. And it should always be compared to the Word of God for its accuracy and what it's telling us. We noted, too, that we need to understand that I'm part of a new family, that I am a citizen. And this is what this picture of pictures right here, that I am a saint. I'm a member. I can be called a child of God. Now, you might be a child who's a little stinker. And any of you parents who have had children, you know that children can be stinkers. Are there any parents here who would say that that's not the case? There are times when actually children can make you proud. But there are also times when children can embarrass you to tears. And they can be stinkers. But guess what? They are still your child. They're still your child. And that is something that we need to understand. Month ago, when we looked at the Lord's table, we took a look at the Passover. And we noted that the Passover was literally a new start for the children of Israel. We looked at the time of the Passover. We looked at the lamb of the Passover. We noted that it had to be an unblemished lamb. And this unblemished lamb is talked about in the New Testament. And it illustrates the fact that Jesus Christ could have no sin of his own. Did you know why I can't die for you? Because I'm a sinner. Collectively, we could not die for anyone because we're all sinners. We all have a debt to pay. And Jesus Christ is the only one who is debt-free. He is free to pay someone else's debt. There is no one in the history of the world that qualifies for that. Jesus Christ is the only one. And throughout the Old Testament, this idea of taking the best, just an interesting point, a month ago, there was somebody here who teaches agriculture and was just thinking about that and just mentioned to me that when the nation of Israel took their best lamb, he said this really hit him a month ago, that it's the best lamb that was normally reserved for breeding stock. And so if you always take your best out, the herd will kind of diminish in quality over time. So you never want to do that. And it would just seem amazing that visiting farmers and other nations, that what kind of a farmer are you? And Israel was an agricultural society. What kind of a farmer would kill off his best breeding stock? And God says, that's exactly what you do. And I will make up the difference. And it was really a test of faith that the children of Israel had to believe that what God had for them was the best. You ask yourself, why did God have to give up his only begotten son? Wow, you talk about killing the herd. His only son is going to be sacrificed. And yet it was the best. And through the resurrection, we have something to look forward to. Well, we looked at the time, the lamb, the death of the lamb. And without the death of the lamb, there could be no redemption. But the blood of that lamb also needed to be applied to the door. And I would suggest to you this, that had you lived at this particular time and you took the Passover lamb, you took the best male lamb of 1 year old, it was without blemish, you killed it just the way you were supposed to, you roasted it, you ate it with your boots on, just like Moses instructed, but you never took the blood and you never applied it to the door, the death angel would not have passed over you. Each family, represented by the head of that family, needed to apply the blood. And as we stop and we think of today, there are so many people that come to churches, that learn about Jesus Christ, who actually believe that he died, was buried, and rose again. And they do everything just right, even the Lord's table. And they go through the motions, but they never have personally applied the blood themselves. We know from Hebrews that the blood was applied by faith. And we looked at that the last time we were together. You could ask yourself, what in the world does painting blood on a doorpost mean for salvation? Listen, this was God's prescribed way. And if you believe that God is all wise and he has a method that never fails, then we need to trust him and come in the prescribed way. And that prescribed way is faith and faith alone. And so as we stop and we think of the Passover, and I noted the time, and just let me put a little grid right here on the board. And if you want to look with me at Leviticus chapter 23, this is where that started. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book in the Bible, chapter 23. And this is part of God's instructions to the nation of Israel. And in the nation of Israel, he prescribes seven feasts. And we won't look at all the feasts, but we'll take a look at this first one that was made reference to at the Passover. In fact, it's called the Passover. And every year on this date, the Passover lamb would be slain. So let's pick it up and read it in verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations. These are national get-togethers that the nation would celebrate together, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover. Now, we saw in the book of Exodus a month ago that this month was declared to be the beginning of the Jewish year, the beginning of their calendar. And on the 15th day, verse 6, of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day, verse 7, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And that is a Sabbath, a day of rest. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is a holy convocation. So you get together on the first day, and then it's actually would be 8 days later, because you've got the Passover and then the 15th, so it would go through the 21st, would add all of this up. And on that day, no work could be done. Verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Moses, and saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So let me put that together. We've got the Passover. And Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul refers to Jesus Christ as our Passover. And we apply his blood, his sacrifice, once and for all. And then the week went on. And on the 15th day, as we just read, and for 7 days, and that would bring us to the 21st day of the month, is a feast of unleavened bread. And no leaven was allowed in the house during this particular time period. And then what we have, and every year, as you know, Christmas Day, what year is the 25th? It's on a Tuesday this year, right? I forget. I think it is. But last year, it was not on a Tuesday, okay? And so when you pick a date for a month, it could be a different day every year. And so I had to kind of do a little bit of creative thinking right here. And if the 14th happened to fall on a Thursday, then the feast, the 15th, would be Friday. The 16th would be the seventh day of the week. And the 17th would be the first day of the week. So that 17th in the green right there, the offering of the first fruits, could fall any date in between the 15th and the 21st. Does that make sense? All right? But it had to be the first day of the week following the first Sabbath during those 7 days. And so that would always be on what we would call a Sunday. So the first day of the week, we would always have the offering of the first fruits. There isn't a date associated with that one, but there is on the Passover feast. That began on the evening of the 14th. And then the feast went through the 21st, with this event taking place in the meantime. Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is called our first fruits. He was resurrected on the first day of the week. By the way, this is traditionally why we meet on the first day of the week, is because we are remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the first fruits, and he is called the first fruits. So as we stop and we think, and I'd just like to take a little bit of time and turn over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 9, and just note this. And in Numbers chapter 9, we have an interesting thing that has happened and taken place. Numbers chapter 9, they are preparing for, and this is later now, some years later, Moses is still alive, and they're preparing for the Passover. And in verse 6, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. Now, this is interesting because we won't take the time this morning to look it up, but God had instructed that if you touched a dead body, or if you were in a house where someone died, you were ceremonially unclean for 7 days. And after 3 days, you needed to be sprinkled by someone who was clean. And then on the seventh day, you needed to wash your clothes, take a bath, and be sprinkled by someone who was clean. And then you could approach God in the temple. But for 7 days, you were ceremonially considered unclean. And so if grandpa died, or your husband died, or your dad died, and lived in your house, everyone in the house was ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Now, if you stop and you think about that, people died in the wilderness. In fact, a whole generation died out in the wilderness. And during this time period, people died. And here we have someone who, and they don't identify if it was a friend or a relative, but guess what? They were ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Verse 6, they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? Now, the Passover was very important, and everyone was commanded to keep the Passover. What do they do? And these men came and asked Moses, and Moses, being the good leader that he was, didn't make up an answer. He said, I don't know, but here is what I'll do. You be patient, verse 8, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. So he went to the Lord in prayer and said, God, I never thought about this. What do we do about this particular situation right here? And God spoke unto, and God said to Moses, verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you, of your posterity, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body. Now that was the question. But God expanded his answer. Or he says, or be in a journey afar off. Yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. This is an essential event. The 14th day, verse 11, of the second month at even, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And they followed the instructions, and it was 1 month later. Now, this is very fascinating that there was actually provision made for two Passovers. And you ask yourself, well, the unclean, the distant journey, what is all that about? And I would suggest to you this. The nation of Israel had turned its back on God. But guess what? There's a day coming when the nation of Israel is going to turn back to God. And what we see in this right here is a foreshadow of Israel, but even more than that, we see a picture of the graciousness of God. We see a God who says this, you know what? You were goofing off. In fact, that distant journey, that far away, could have just been you're out walking in the tulies. In fact, many of the rabbis and the teachers of the time interpreted it that way, that it could mean you're on a long business trip, but it also could mean you're just mentally checked out and you're not there and you suddenly wake up. And in 2 Chronicles, that is exactly what happened in Israel. In fact, it's the only place I can find where Israel actually took advantage of that second Passover. The king is reading, hey, we gotta do the Passover. And they didn't have time to get ready because they were all goofing off, spiritually speaking. And so they used this provision. And I might just say, if you are here and you've heard what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, but you've never applied the blood by faith, guess what? God is gracious. And he is giving you time here on earth to trust him, to apply the blood. And we talk about a God of second chances. I'll tell you what, he is. But if you die without ever having applied the blood, it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. And it's important that we remember that particular point. We have a wonderful provision that's being made. And God does not want us to forget it. And this is the purpose of the Lord's table, is to cause us to remember what we have in Christ, what Jesus Christ did for us. He paid for my sin. And I'm a citizen of heaven. And while we can get choked up, and we should be proud of the fact of our earthly citizenship, we should be forever thankful of our citizenship in heaven, and we should never forget the price that was paid of he who went before and purchased our freedom, who purchased our citizenship, who purchased a home in heaven for us. And his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the one who paid the way. He's the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So at this time, I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward, and we'll partake in the Lord's table. And what is the purpose of this? The purpose of the Lord's table is not to provide salvation. The purpose of the Lord's table is not to give you a gift or to make you a citizen of heaven. The purpose of the Lord's table is a memorial. It's to cause us who are forgetful people by nature to stand up and remember the price that was paid. And as we think of what the Apostle Paul had to say, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." This memorial service, the qualifications for the service and participating in the service is twofold. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're told that you need to be in the family of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 later, he says, we should be willing to judge ourselves. And so while these elements are being passed out, I would ask you to consider two questions. Are you in the family of God? And if you are not, please apply the blood by faith, and you'll be in the family of God. If you are in the family of God, ask yourself this. Is there anything between you and God that is getting in the way of your fellowship? Be willing to judge yourself. If you're willing to do that, guess what? You will be born again, or you will be instantly cleansed, and you qualify for the Lord's table. So I'm glad you're here this morning. Please retain the bread until all have been served, and we will pray and eat together.